All right, we are plugged in. Now it's Sunday the 29th of October 2017, and you're listening to the Kraz Files podcast with Adam. And as usual, podcasts go over to the website, my website, krazfiles.com, C-R-A-Z-Z, and everything's over there. So lots of articles and videos and interesting things are going up over on the website for folks to check out. And the podcast is also available over at iTunes if you want to get it there. And you can also check it out on Facebook. Put a lot of great info up there as well, and Twitter and stuff like that. So have another website, opensourcetruth.com. So lots going over there as well, and the link should be back up on the Kraz Files soon. It's broken at the moment, had some problems, but getting back there. And well, researcher Wayne Bush is back again. Always good to have you, Wayne. How are you going over there in Texas?
Oh, it's going pretty good.
it's crazy days.
Yeah, we've had all those hurricanes and stuff down in the Houston area, so it's been kind of trying for us all. But, and now we just had our first cold front that came through, and it's dropping almost down to freezing now.
Yeah, man.
Pretty unusual for Texas.
Yeah, indeed. Well, always good to hook up with you and do these shows as we move forward and plunge into these different blocks of information that we've done a whole bunch. So all our podcasts, of course, are up on Kraz Files. People just search through those there, and you'll get all the interesting shows we've done with Wayne. And we're going to have a look, Wayne, today at symbols and language, and just going off your email here, sort of looking at language, including symbols, corporate logos, these things, anagrams, sacred geometry, and reverse speech, which you've been doing a lot lately with music, backmasking in music, of course, symbolism in dreams, and games, tarot cards, playing cards, and also the Las Vegas shooting. If we have time, you might go into the symbolism in regards to that as well, but a big one for sure. You've got a lot of research to put together. Of course, a lot of this material is on your great website, trickedbythelight.com, and I always put that up, go up today. And you've been looking recently and sending me some emails at music, and this as well, which I listened to a lot of this years ago. It's so interesting, so we've been talking about that. But another interesting podcast coming up with you today, was as we move forward all these, as I said, different chunks of information that we're going through. So much on your website, and I think this is a good way to run through it as best we can, and give you the time you need to go over it. And a lot of people are interested in your work. It's fantastic work. So we'll get going. What do you reckon?
Okay. Well, thanks, Adam. It's always a pleasure to be on your show, and I'm glad people are finding some value in some of the information I'm sharing. So, yeah, today's subject of the show is language, and 90% of all communication is nonverbal. So we're also going to look at symbols and archetypes, which speak to the subconscious, and this includes corporate logos. And on our last show, we looked at some of the symbolism of movies, and we looked at movies which portrayed certain archetypal figures, such as the demiurge, the collective, and Sophia types. I think there's a hidden esoteric language that's embedded within the English language, and it's used here on Earth to help keep us in the dark and asleep as to what our true origins are. You know, our spirits use telepathy and empathy to communicate, as is experienced by near-death experiencers, astral projectors, and even alien abductees in the astral realms. And language in our physical bodies keeps us separated from our true source. So like we languish in our languid language. And the first thing you learn when you go to school is how to spell. And indeed, our language helps to keep us under this spell and from waking up. We spell words, or words, to pronounce a sentence. It's a life sentence of prison terms. Just like a judge sentences a man to a life term in prison, by pronouncing a sentence, we spell words to pronounce a sentence. And our words become our prison wards, and it's in our language. One of the first things we learn is how to write cursively at school. We use cursive writing to place a curse. And a rite, R-I-T-E, is a magical rite or ritual used in magic to cast a spell. In our language, we use curse words and cursive writing. We cuss and discuss. Words have meaning and are mean things, especially crosswords. They can be used to make a point. We use a converse to converse in order to keep us off course in our discourse as a phrase, F-R-A-Y-S. We use catch words. A story is a spiel or a spell. It's all part of the gospel of God's spell. And so you have books. You know, a book has the word in Latin is liber, which is where we get liberty. So it has to do with freedom and liberty. And books contain chapters. And what's a chapter? A chapter is a secret society or religious order, like the Knights Templar. A chapter contains many pages. And what's a page? A page is an understudy and in service to the queen and king, as in pages and squires, like a knight who is well-versed in magic and is more or less a soldier to trained assassin. To page someone is to summons them. Pages summons demons to enslave or imprison our souls. After all, a page does contain many sentences, and a jail sentence is served in a prison ward. Indeed, a sentence is created by words that are spelled out by using letters. And a letter is someone who allows something to happen or someone who does something for someone else, like a blood letter. So like I said, words mean things. So most words have multiple meanings and synonyms, not to mention many anagrams which the subconscious mind can recognize. Factor in its homophones such as there, and there, and it can get quite confusing to keep track. What effect does that have when words with almost opposite meanings are homophones? Think about no, K-N-O, W, and no, N-O. Knowledge is considered a very positive word, yet it's linked phonetically with the most negative word in our language. So when you say, I know this to be true, are you partially negating its reality? About anagrams, there's this little phrase that I show on my website, and all the letters are scrambled in the words, but it reads as the following. It says, according to research at Cambridge University, it doesn't matter in what order the letters in a word are. The only important thing is that the first and last letter be at the right place. The rest can be a total mess, and you can still read it without a problem. This is because the human mind does not read every letter by itself, but the word as a whole, end quote. So if you consider that above statement in which the letters of the words have been rearranged, that you still should be able to read it without any problem. And this means that your subconscious mind should also relate multiple meanings to words having many anagrams. So it shouldn't be any problem to associate God as good or the devil as evil. So now consider the following words like live and evil, or God and dog, or even love and evil. Pronouncing the words has a pronounced effect. And there's this science of semantics, which shows how all spoken sounds take on a vibratory geometry or shape, like how you can blow smoke rings by forming your mouth into the shape of an O. The Tibetan monks show how sound can be used to form geometric patterns on a plate of sand particles. So the spoken word can indeed create reality. Also, consider the mind's ability to combine words and sounds. When someone sneezes, you feel customarily obligated to say, bless you. But if you sound out the syllables, does your subconscious mind also make the connection to the phrase, bless you? So the very act of blessing someone can also be subconsciously telling them to be less. This is spellcasting in its, you know, form. How we are being programmed through our language to go to the sun or hell? Well, hello. Helios was the Greek name for the sun, and the sun in English, as well as other languages such as Latin, is called sol, S-O-L. We are all said to be souls or have a soul. We have a solar plexus, and our feet have souls, and sol, sole, S-O-L-E, is sun in Italian. You are called a person, maybe pertaining to the sun. When a male child is born, he is called a son, S-O-N. And the word for son is in German is Sohn, S-O-N-N-E. Hu was one of the 12 gods in the Egyptian stellar cult. which could explain why we are human. Colors and hues originate from the light of the sun. Politicians encourage soldiers or soul dyers to go to war for God and country. Of course, when they die, they will go to another dimension, dimension. Have you ever wondered why we use the word hello to greet each other? After all, the word can be reduced to hell, the fiery place of eternal punishment, and the suffix O, which means associated with. And then you have synonyms and antonyms are listed in the thesaurus. The, from the Greek theos, is the root of theology, the study of God, and saurus means lizard. A thesaurus literally means lizard god. How many names for government entities start with a negative prefix? The word nation is nation. You have the UN or UN. You have United Nations, NATO. You have the Nazi Party, NASA, NORAD, NASCAR, NATOS, and I'm sure there's others we could come up with. So do some of the letters or building blocks of our language contain within them a blueprint for the control and possession of our spirits? English has Germanic origins, and it's likely that the English letters have their roots in Germanic runes, which are used for magic and casting spells. In somatics, Hans Janney studied how frequency and oscillation affects the very structure of matter. So we have all this energy that travels in waves, and Jenny studied how the vibrational energy of sound waves, such as the human voice or music, create an interference that forms geometric patterns on a vibrating membrane, like a steel plate with media such as sand or glycerin. And he found increasing the frequency made more complex forms, like mandalas, snowflakes, like sacred geometry patterns. You know, listeners may be familiar with like blowing the smoke ring with the making the lips into the shape of an O. It's the same idea. And crystals and water are alive and can store memory and can be affected by positive or negative thoughts. And our body is mostly water and, of course, has plasma in the blood. But everything used during ritual is a symbol of an energy that exists on the astral plane. To bring the energy through, the magician must set up a circuit of communication so that power can flow. To further aid in the direction and control of power, the magician relies on certain magical tools to help his unconscious mind, such as a dagger, sword, wand, cup, or chalice, which we'll see are incorporated into playing cards later on in the suits. But they also have incense and burner, lamps and candles, and you can see entertainers pointing at you or flicking their hands. And there's two types of ritual magic, evocation and invocation. And avocation is used in ceremonial magic and is the commanding of certain forces and entities by names of powers and sigils. And these are done in a mixture of Greek, Hebrew, and unknown languages. Invocation invites higher spirits and the gods. So how do you ruin a language with rune magic? You can recognize the letters in the English alphabet that they have origins in the Germanic runes, which were used to cast spells. And the sound or phonetic value of the rune and its vibratory quality in the air, in space, each rune has a certain sound to it, though to be chanted or sung. And this is the magical creative quality that's inherent in speech. The runes can be used to affect the world outside based on the archetypes they represent. And you have grammar or the grimoire. The word grammar comes from grammars, which were old Latin books on syntax and diction. The ancient magic books of Europe, which contained instructions to summon demons, were known as grimoires, the French word for grammar. A grimoire or spellbook is a derivative of the French word grimoire. The pronunciation and sound of words affects the matter around us. The ancient Goetia, I'm not sure how you pronounce all these words, but the ancient Goetia spellbooks were used for conjuring up demons, and each demon had its own sigil and name. Of course, the Book of the Dead called the Necronomicon lists names of gods with sigils in order to contact them through rituals. And consider that spirit angels may be called down through the use of angels. Also, sacred geometry and other rituals use colors, crystals, formations, and chants that can help to open up interdimensional portals or gateways and lead to connections with spirits and even possession. But back to language, you have prefixes and suffixes, and they can completely change the meaning of words. There's many negative prefixes, such as dis, un, con, and also ones that mean the sun or moon, like ray and mon. M-O-N. You have suffixes such as S, which looks like a snake, and makes something plural. The suffix al, A-L, can make something an adjective to describe a thing. Then you have suffixes like tick or ion and shun. And the suffix ing, which is a rune, takes a verb and makes an action into an object or thing, a noun, just by adding ing or ng. You have con words. Cons or Khonsu was an Egyptian moon god. And, it's all a con. It's in the language, the lexicon. It's all a con game by controlling, conniving, conceited, common convicts in a connected, conspicuous conspiracy without consulting us with our conscious consent and constant consequences. They converge and convene in a Confederate Continental Congress conference to contemplatively consider in confidence to conduct in a concealed, concerted effort to converse and conceive in concept, conjure, concoct, and construct contracts that contradict, contrary to the Constitution, to convince the country that we are content. We should condemn them for contempt. All our celebrities and political and religious leaders are icons. We can see with our eye that they're cons, and they even admit it in their name, icon. They want us to buy American. A student might say, I took econ at UConn. My professor looked like Acon. He's my icon. So it's like all throughout our language. But most of our communication is subconscious and is achieved through the use of symbols. So the far-reaching extent in which the spell our language has cast on us can be seen in the everyday usage of cliches. Our languages are saturated with what we like to call killer words and phrases, because that's what some of them do. Englishmen use the word bloody all the time. Bloody well right they do. Some women are considered drop-dead gorgeous, and when they're dressed to kill, they are to die for. She was a dead ringer for Marilyn Monroe. If looks could kill, they would, because she will take your breath away. Won't you just kill for a date with her? Sometimes she really gets under my skin and burns me up, but if anyone tries to hurt her, they would have to go over my dead body, because I will punch their lights out if they get near her. I'm serious as a heart attack. I'm dead serious. She can be as mean as a snake at times, but she really knows how to kill him with kindness. I was dead set for her. I could have just died right there. I mean, I felt like I had just died and gone to heaven. Eat your heart out. She was a live wire, but at least I would go out in a blaze of glory. I don't want to beat a dead horse, but she really took me for a ride. But anyway, you get the point. I think about the terms we use when we wish good luck to others, like break a leg, kid, or knock them dead, or someone borrows something from us, we say, go ahead, knock yourself out. And even time is not immune to our sadistic ways. We'll talk about time to kill, or we're just killing time. And you have homophones, where two words have the same sound but different meanings, and that allows for a lot of room for deception, mixed messages, messages speaking to the subconscious mind, which scrambles to make sense of a sentence using context with, double meanings and double speak. So think about the words know, like I mentioned before, and since knowledge is such a positive word, but it's linked with the most negative word in our language. And then you have these anagrams. Another way is that the subconscious mind can make sense of anagrams. Like I mentioned that phrase earlier from Cambridge University. But it means your subconscious mind can relate multiple meanings to these anagrams. So shouldn't be any problem to associate the word live with evil, or even the word vile, for example. Lived becomes the devil. God becomes a dog. Santa becomes Satan. Earth becomes heart. Love is the beginning of evolution. We've all probably heard of these fun, amazing anagrams, such as a decimal point is equal to I'm a dot in place. Or a dormitory is a dirty room. Desperation is a rope ends it. The Morse code is here come dots. Slot machines is cash lost in them. Snooze alarms is alas, no more Z's. 11 plus 2 equals 12 plus 1. A few I thought of are words and sword, a sword. Even the demiurge can be I urged them, or I urged me, or I'd merge you, like the letter U. Matrix is art mix. Nergal is angler. Neo, of course, is one. So We get moon in our SOL, shit out of luck. The soul has died or been bleached and is released and sent to Earth where it's recycled and reincarnated. But, you know, we're tricked because it's a game. It's the game of life for the human race. And you have the prefix re, R-E, in religion during a revival, a reverend or mini star gives a sermon telling you you're born in sin and need to be saved from sin and does a ceremony for the congregation and asks you to repent so you can be redeemed and reborn. You give your heart and soul to the resurrected Son of God. You know, it's just all over the place. You just even words like repeat, rerun, return, retry, revolution, resolution, all those words. And then the prefix mon, M-O-N, means moon. And it's, you know, it can be seen in monuments and the monarch. Even the word monster is a moon star. Then you have the suffix al, which I'm not going to get into. But here are some more interesting words, like the word government. The word govern means to rule or control. And the ment, M-E-N-T, means it's mental or of the mind. So government literally means mind control. Then you have democracy, and a demo is like a show, right? You know, you give a demo for somebody, it's not real, it's just a simulation, right? And then crazy is crazy. So it's like a democracy is kind of like a crazy show. And the word religion, L-E-I-G means to tie or to bind. And then you have the word God, with G-A-U-D, which is a trick or deception. It's that's what its original form was many centuries ago. Then you have a phrase like when the minister says, let us pray. Well, is he talking about P-R-E-Y or P-R-A-Y? And who is us? Is he including him with the congregation? Or is he talking about, you know, entities that are there to pray on you? Then you have the Garden of Eden. And you have human beings. I mean, it sounds farcical, but I mean, the subconscious mind can make the connection with that. And you have a worship and a warship. And to be saved means to be saved for later, like in a safe. Like a safe is a lockbox, right? So you put something in somewhere where it's going to be safe. You're just like putting it on a shelf somewhere. You're putting it in a box. Or then why do we say amen at the end of a prayer, you know, when Amen was a ram-headed god back in Egypt, it just carries on from previous civilizations. And so, you know, I think I mentioned soul and the soul dyer, but then you have a trickster, and the S-T-E-R is means star. And so you have a trick star, a prank star, a joke star. The moon, it's a C moon, you know, it's a crescent moon, it looks like a C, so that's why you have Luna C. You know, Luna is the moon, and so lunacy is like when you have moon madness. Then you have a human race, and E, like if you have E, you know, E is energy, like E equals MC squared, and so we have movies, so a movie is moving your emotion, right? And so an emotion is like energy in motion. And movies have like a cast of characters. Well, a character is a care actor. And then you have a broadcast and a cast of characters. And casting is, of course, associated with casting a spell or casting a fishing rod or whatever. And, of course, you have programs on the TV. And it's what it is. It's all programming. Music comes from a muse. And then in computers, you have IT, which is it, but it stands for information technology. And so it's, you know, artificial intelligence, the machine. And you have all these words in computers like ASP, which is an asp or a snake, RAM, master and slaves. So there's even drives called SATA drives, S-A-T-A. And then, but your spirit is meant to spear it. You know, it is this mechanical artificial thing, and so your spirit is there to like slay the dragon, so to speak. Then you have the English letter S, which first of all looks like a snake or serpent, and you know, looks like it's going to strike if it's viewed from overhead, or it looks like when it's crawling on the ground, it looks like a S2. But in two-dimensional space, it looks like a sideways wave, and in 3D space, it kind of looks like a spiral. Both paths of energy follows. And the letter S is used in English to denote possession, which is Satan's specialty, of course, by placing it at the end of a word with an apostrophe. And plurality, or the concept of multiplication or copies of creation, is achieved by appending an S to a word, or sometimes an ES. Not only does the letter S physically represent the snake or serpent, phonetically it even sounds like a snake. It sounds exactly like the hissing a snake makes when it shakes its tail or about ready to strike. The word hiss even ends in double S. And of course, the words snake and serpent are both S words, swords, as well as Satan, who the Bible says took the form of a snake. And then, of course, when you want to keep a secret, you say, psst, come here. Or if you want to keep a secret, you say, shh. And the dollar sign symbol is the standard symbol for English currency. And we're going to talk about that a little bit later. But and then you have the letter X. And X is you X out things to negate them. And dead people are often shown with X's in their eyes. And you have explicit sex, which is labeled with an XXX. X marks the spot as, you know, the spot it. And I'm going to talk about it here in a moment. But when we break up with someone, they become an X. And I think X is similar to it. In algebra, you solve for X, the unknown. You have the X factor, which is when someone has it. Sometimes Christian can be abbreviated with an X-I-A-N, or, you know, Christmas with the X-M-A-S. It shows that it wants to be Christ. So you have the Xbox and the X games. But here, the it, and of course, this just came out recently, the remade version of the Stephen King movie It, you know, it's just now become popular again. But he released that blockbuster smash hit book It, and the video features the menacing face of a clown, while the book reveals the clown's head is a skull with stars in the eye sockets. And the video jacket read, "Your every fear, all in the deadly enemy. It can be anything, a fanged monster that won't stay on the movie screen, something ominous lurking in the basement or around the next corner. No matter what your biggest fear is, no one knows it better than Stephen King. The force takes the shape of a clown, but it isn't clowning around. Instead, it terrorizes youngsters with their innermost fears, bringing them to untimely doom until a group of wily neighborhood kids fight back. 30 years later, it resurfaces, meaner, angrier, and the friends who vividly remember the terrors of their youth reunite to make a desperate final stand against it." In an interview, King admits he was possessed during the writing of the book. So, what is it? Sigmund Freud, the father of psychology, invented a model of the psyche which contained three parts to the self: the ego, the superego, and what he termed the id, or the subconscious mind. This was the realm of our fears, scary monsters, and demons. This id was considered a sort of third person, subsistent to the conscious and superconscious mind. In our identity, you have Freud's id entity, or the it entity. Of course, we use the word it as a sort of third person as well in our use of speech. And of course, subconsciously, we have been programmed to accept the abbreviated ID as our identity, or id entity. We unknowingly give power to this creature and help create it every day with our thought and speech. We chant the chorus to the song "Let It Be" over and over again. And it's no coincidence that it is the acronym that has been currently assigned to information technology or computers, for it may very well be an artificial intelligence or computer. And you have genre of these horror films that possess other creature features with it in the title, like it lives again, it came from the sea, it came from outer space, it's alive. When Dr. Frankenstein made famous, he brought his monster to life. He said, "It's alive." And from the time we're young, we've been told over and over again that it is a scary creature. It's embedded within the recesses of our mind. And on the Addams Family, cousin It was a monster. It communicated via high-speed gibberish that only members of the Addams Family seemed to understand. You know, the eyes have it. What do the eyes have? What or who is it? The eyes are the windows to the soul. In Saturday Night Live, Dana Carvey played the church lady who asked, "It be Satan?" you know, there's all these phrases which I'm not going to take the time to read, but, you know, tag, you're it, and all these songs that, you know, like, make it, you know, make it with you and make it real, and, you know, Star Trek's, you know, was it So Be It, and the witches have like the smoke, So Mote It Be, and things like that. There's just a ton of examples with the word it.
I did watch that new It movie, Wayne. Just had a look at it.
Did you watch it?
I watched it, yeah, but it's
the new one.
The new film, yeah, but it was pretty violent compared to the original, of course. Yeah, it was pretty bloody and very violent, much more sinister,
sure.
But you know, you're right about that. Yeah, there's always the boogeyman, isn't there? The boogeyman through all the movies, the fear underneath everything, the it. Yeah, but I found it quite violent.
Haven't watched it yet. I'm waiting for it to come out.
It's beautifully made. Like it's very well made, of course, and you know, a lot of money put into it. But it was much more bloodthirsty than the original, of course. Yeah, than the King one.
Of course, they're just amping up the violence any way they can these days.
Big time.
So, have you heard of David John Oates? He's an Australian that he discovered the phenomenon known as reverse speech.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, most people probably haven't heard of him, but they've heard of backmasking in music where, you know, if you play a song backwards, you hear these hidden messages, and most of those are unintentional. But David found that they're actually occur regularly in everyday speech, and that the subconscious mind delivers messages that are either congruent or discongruent to the forward intention of the word spoken. And a classic example is when American astronaut Neil Armstrong landed on the moon. He declared, that's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind. And when played backwards, he says, man will spacewalk. Another more recent example is American ex-president Barack Obama, when he said his campaign slogan, yes, we can. When reversed, he actually says, thank you, Satan. You know, I bought a cassette recorder that was able to reverse back and forth back in the day, and I tested it out with my mom, and we had a casual 5-minute chat while I recorded the conversation. And while we were talking, I noticed our dog was out in the backyard, and it had chased a squirrel up a tree, and the squirrel had stopped like halfway up the tree and was looking back down at the dog and almost taunting it and knowing that the dog, you know, couldn't catch him. And it's been a while, so I'm not sure if I commented on it or not. I think I did, but I mean, I was certainly watching it. But I specifically remember when I played the tape backwards after a few minutes, I could distinctly be heard saying, quote, the squirrel will be facing the ground with knowledge, with wisdom. It was very clear. And so I've been going through some songs, movies, and interviews, and I think I may have discovered some relevant song reversals, you know, to my research. And like I said, there are speech reversals are a phenomenon commonly found in everyday conversation as the subconscious or conscious mind is tapping into the collective unconscious or collective consciousness, and sometimes communicates when it's passionate or in either a congruent or incongruent message pertaining to the subject being discussed. So, you know, keep in mind these are naturally occurring reversals and not intentional backmasking, which also exists, you know, and it's usually used for marketing or whatever, but it could be that our forward speech is mostly our ego speaking and the spirit is communicating in reverse. You know, I'm not sure, but if our ego is in control, then the messages will contradict each other. And if we are operating in harmony with our true spiritual essence, then the two messages will be congruent. So I was listening to Apollo astronaut Edgar Mitchell, and there's a point where he says, you know, I fully believe that we're not alone. And then he says, and have for many, many years, even though, and when he says, and have for many, many years, even though, when you play it backwards, he says, oh, I know it's your alien. Me and them were fighting it. And then Apollo astronaut Neil Armstrong, he says forwards, but as you move further, such the sun was, like he's describing what it was like to be out in space. And at one point he says, but as you move further, such the sun was. And then backwards, that phrase says, so NASA, that's their Earth movie setup. So, you know, he's talking about what it's like to be out in space, but, you know, maybe in his mind he's actually thinking about how they're out in the desert, you know, filming the movie of the space landing or something, you know, like many people theorize.
Strange.
In the movie The Wizard of Oz, you know, Dorothy and her friends, they approach the Emerald City and they sing this song about going out of the woods and into the light. And they sing, step into the sun, step into the light. But Dorothy says, look, Emerald City is closer and prettier than ever. If you play the words Emerald City is backwards, you hear Satan is sunlight. You know, they do sort of find out that the Emerald City is run by a demiurgic figure. It's a frail old man called the Wizard of Oz, and he pulls the levers from behind the curtains and propagates the illusions. Another one, you know, I think the Wizard of Oz contains the formula upon death for leaving this matrix and going home. And Dorothy repeats the mantra, there's no place like home, over and over until she wakes up from her dream and she's back home. And to do this, she acquires the attributes of knowledge or gnosis, you know, the scarecrow needing a brain, a pure heart of emotion, the tin man needing a heart, and willpower or determination, the cowardly lion needing courage to overcome his fears. And so you have gnosis, which is knowing, and plus a pure heart, you got to feel like it's already done. And then the willpower, which is, you know, wanting it really bad. So forwards, she says, there's no place like home. And backwards, it says, no, now safe, wants it. So, you know, there's your knowledge and your emotional safety there, and then wanting it really bad. And then she says, forward, she says, my room. And then backwards, she says, I'm home now. So another one, Jim Morrison, he wanted to recite a poem he wrote for a song called The White Blind Light. And the reporter says, in that case, you're on. And Jim starts the poem with, thank you, O Lord, for the white blind light. And so when Jim's reversed, it says, hell now, hell with the flow of Louis Ness. And the reporter says, our Satan. And I think Louis is like poetic slang for Lucifer. You know, Louis, Lucifer, Lucy, Louis, Lucy, Louis. And Ness is like a serpent or a snake, like in the Loch Ness monster, which is called Nessie, you know, it's the Ness. So it says, in that case, you're on. And Jim says, thank you, O Lord, for the white blind light. And backwards, it says, hell now, hell with the flow of lowliness, or Satan. And Bob Dylan was interviewed on the show 60 Minutes. And Ed Bradley says, why do you still do it? Why are you still out there or out here? And Dylan says, it goes back to that destiny thing. And I made a bargain with it a long time ago, and I'm holding up my end. And he's asked, what was your bargain? And Dylan says, to get where I am now. And he says, should I ask whom you made the bargain with? And Bob says, with the chief commander. And he's asked, on this earth? And Dylan laughs and says, on this earth and the world we can't see. So when he says, and I made a bargain with it, forwards, is when you reverse it, it says, they soon begat the demon, or maybe it says, with only God, the demon. It's hard to tell. I mean, it's hard to tell if he's like saying the name of a demon, like Zumbi God or something. I've never heard of the word, but I thought it was an interesting one, so I included it. Madonna has a song called Illuminati, and in the lyrics she says, it's not pentagrams or witchcraft. It's not trying to stack for cash, black magic or Gaga, Gucci or Prada. And backwards, she says, collaboration, 100% fact, snakes, sex, and the ashcraft. And then it sounds something like, I actually was mayor of Camp Kazi. And I'm like, what the heck's Kazi? And I was like looking online, and from Urban Dictionary, it says, Kazi is a man with an enormous penis and knows how to please women sexually, a big fan of the ladies, a love sex god. So I don't know. That's probably, the last line probably is meaningless, but who knows. Katy Perry in the song Firework, she says, there's a spark in you, you just got to ignite. And backwards, it sounds like, we'll hand the light to you, will you bow to Satan? Of course, Led Zeppelin's Stairway to Heaven, many people know about all the references to Satan when you play it backwards, and I'm not going to list those. But the one I found forwards, it's at the very end of the song, he says, the stairway to heaven. And when you play it backwards, it says, a black witch, hear white sun. Of course, a lot of people say that says, play backwards, hear words sung. But if you listen to the vowels and the consonants, I think mine's closer. Then you the song Hotel California. In the chorus, it says, Hotel California, such a lovely place, such a lovely place, such a lovely face. plenty of room at the Hotel California any time of year, any time of year. When you play that back, it says, tape the mask in it, tape the mask in it, play it all backwards. For hit then more read us, see it reverses, see it reverses, see it reverses, play it all backwards. Another part of the song is where he's talking about a prison, and it says, relax, said the night man, we are programmed to receive. You can check out any time you like, but you can never leave. And when you play that back, it says, the moon magnet mister behind the mask, and he lies like Satan. He sends mankind to the sun, mankind to the sun. And the part where he says he sends mankind, mankind to the sun, it's very clear. The Manfred Mann's Earth Band had the song Blinded by the Light, which was written by Bruce Springsteen. And forwards is a part that says make it, and backwards it says play a game. And in Bruce's version, the part where he says, Mama always told me not to look into the sights of the sun. Whoa, but Mama, that's where the fun is. It says, when you play it backwards, it says, I am my own cause of sinner man devil, not a sunglass guy, so there's nicker of animal soul man. You know, it's, that backwards, that's almost as crazy as what the lyrics are forward. It's a pretty crazy song. Yeah, the song Dreamweaver by Gary Wright, it says, though the dawn may be coming soon, there still may be. And backwards, he says, see them with Satan, Lucifer. And, of course, Lucifer, as the light bringer, has been associated with Venus, the morning star, and thus the dawn. The song Spirit in the Sky by Norman Greenbaum, he says, you tell yourself, you know it's a must, got to have a friend in Jesus. You play it back and says, ah, I see you, Satan, there for banging a song. He'd want me pray, Satan. Another part of the song says, never been a sinner, I never sin. You play that back. It says, and they smite on the snake of money. And then like the key part of the song where it goes, the spirit in the sky, that's where I'm going to go when I die. When I die and they lay me to rest, I'm going to go to the place that's the best. Go to the place that's the best. You play it back. It says something sounds like saved. I'd see it from the moon, saved. I'd see it from the moon, the moons of Satan. And then they hide, and then they, the eyes, the night they would, but the mercy they hide in the spirits. That's, you know, it's quite a long stretch of words there. That's, you know, it'd be pretty hard to string a bunch of meaningful sounds that actually make up words that convey a message. In the movie Daredevil, there's a scene where the Daredevil is talking to a man dying on the railroad tracks, and he tells him, hey, that light at the end of the tunnel, guess what? That's not heaven. It's the sea train. And then backwards it says, hey, handsome, hail Satan, unos to the knave, Yalda dead. And a knave is a jack or an assassin, and Yaldabaoth is the name of the demiurge or false god, also known as the devil. Dio has a song called Master of the Moon, and the album cover says this big demon-looking thing, and he's holding the moon or a orb. But forwards, when he sings Master of the Moon, when you play it back, it says Moon Before a Sun. Soundgarden's song Black Hole Sun, it says, in disguises no one knows, hides the face, lies the snake, the sun. And backwards it says, the snake, he sits inside, she lives inside, soon my one cis-eye snake. Neil Young, Heart of, you know, it's like trying to, man, this is all negative messages, and like, there's got to be some good songs out there that are, you know, positive. And I'm like, what songs? I'm like, oh, the song Heart of Gold, you know, that's a beautiful song about, you know, having a heart of gold. So I go and I listen to Neil Young's Heart of Gold, and the part where he says, I've been a miner for a heart of gold, and I play it back and it says, oh, oh, put on, oh, oh, print our money. And then the part where he says, and I'm getting old, you play that back, and he says, oh, want to make money. And so, you know, maybe when he wrote it, it was like he had great intentions, and it was a beautiful song. And but when he got in the recording studio, maybe he's thinking about the money he's going to make or something. I don't know. Televangelist Billy Graham, he's the part where he says, God's message. And I played it back, and it said, G. Satan's log, you know, so it's like a book or a Bible is kind of a log that has a message anyway. George Bush, when he says, he's talking about there's still a chance for this, there's a real chance for this new world order. And when he says, chants at this New World Order, when you play it back, it says, "Heard all our wish at this ash." And I don't know if it's, you know, you're going to hurt everyone up or, you know, or whether it's something you heard. I heard that, you know, but it says, "Heard all our wish at this ash." I was trying to find another song that's real positive, and so I thought of the song "Bring Me to Life" by Evanescence. In four words, it says, "How can you see into my eyes like open doors, leading you down into my core where I become so numb? Without a soul, my spirit's sleeping somewhere cold until you find it there in me and lead me back home. Wake me up inside. I can't wake up. Wake me up inside. Save me." And backwards, it says, "I should praise you, I should praise you. Oh, oh, take me in paradise or you'll lose control. Animal snipping," and then there's a part I can't make out, and it says, "Whoa, sinking. One more spark within me, one more smile's blinding me. Smile with within, smile on with me, swing with Ra." So that's all my speech reversals that I found in like within a week. I've got links where you can click on both the forward and backwards on my page on the website where you can listen to them yourself and even download them if you like. But I mean, they're not all crystal clear, of course, but hopefully you can hear what I'm hearing. You know, let me know if you do or don't. I'm interested in that. So most of our communication is subconscious, and it's achieved through the use of symbols, and which obviously can speak to our subconscious directly. And logos, the symbols, speaking directly to the subconscious mind, and their colors, shapes, images, and meanings can influence our thoughts without even being aware of it. And almost all corporate logos use one of the following forms: a sun, moon, star, pyramid, eye, serpents. Our mind has unconscious reactions to different colors, even like, you know, red means stop and yellow's caution, green's go. But, you know, some Illuminati logos include the Freemason G within the square and compass, the pyramid and all-seeing eye on the back of the American dollar, and Columbia Pictures where the goddess is holding up the torch of enlightenment, which most likely represents Prometheus or Lucifer holding up the fire and a fennel stalk. Or, more recently, I discovered Inanna in the Sumerian text was depicted as holding a torch up. And she later became Venus. So, and of course, Venus was associated with Lucifer by the church too. So, then you have Paramount Pictures, which shows a pyramidic mountain with a halo of stars over the top, which kind of looks like a sun. And you have the CBSI and the NBC Peacock, Time Warner Cable with the eye with a spiral in it, and then even Walt Disney has a pyramidic castle, like the castle is like a shape of a pyramid or triangle. Rap artists such as Jay-Z and Beyonce use the witch's triangle of manifestation to manifest and amplify the energy of the ritual performance. According to this book I have called Encyclopedia of Wicca and Witchcraft by Robin Grimassi, the triangle is shown as it's used in ritual and explains, quote, "Triangle of manifestation is a phrase indicating the principle behind magical manifestation. The basic principle is rooted in the number three. According to metaphysics, in order to manifest something, three components must come together. These components are time, space, and energy. Accordingly, if one selects a space and a time and then directs energy there, a manifestation occurs," end quote. And then, you know, I'm looking through the book and I'm flipping through, and there I see that their hands are forming this triangle just like Jay-Z does, and it's like, wow, that's the same symbol. And other pyramid logos include AOL, Infinity, Mercedes, Mitsubishi, Adobe, Citgo, Ameritrade, Fidelity Investments, Lexus, and Illuminati Online. And on my website, I have hundreds of logos on my logos page, which I've divided into categories such as, you know, sun, moon, stars, and so on. Of course, sun logos, many companies they wish to associate the vital life-giving energy of the sun with their products. So some interesting sun logos include Sun Trust, Sun Smart, Sun Trance, Sun Kissed, Run to the Sun, Sun Direct, Go for Sun, Soul Collective, Rising Soul, Funeral Tracker, Helio, Sun Catcher, Race to the Sun, Shell, which uses a yellow rising sun, Discover, Electrosol, Lysol, Lucis Trust, Repsol, Frito-Lay, whose slogan is food for the fun of it, the Arizona State Sun Devils, Sun Harvest, Sun Lion, Capri Sun, and even like Penn tennis balls would look like a sun. The symbol of the sun has been invoked in the Olympic Games, where the parabolic cauldron functions as a mirror to light the torch by the rays of the sun. And the torch is commemorative of the fire that Prometheus, or Lucifer, stole from the gods, and it must be kept burning on a relay circuit of human runners. Of course, the sun, in subconscious programming, you've got a multitude of ways in which we're programmed to go to the light or sun. First of all, Christianity tells us that when we die, we'll be with the Son of God, or that we need to become enlightened. You know, in Buddhism, it's reinforced through many phrases such as, you know, you see the light, or the light at the end of the tunnel. And we tell each other to lighten up or make light of a situation. And we light up a cigarette or drink a light beer, maybe a Bud Light. There are highlights, which are the high points, but, you know, consider we are all familiar with the phrase trick of the light. And we're all looking for our place in the sun and vacations in the sun, at a place where we can have fun in the sun, and sun worshippers lie in the sun. And we're, you know, subconsciously programmed with these subliminal messages that instill within us positive associations with the sun and its color gold. In fact, one of the definitions the dictionary gives for soul or sun is alchemical gold, which is a gold metal. And like I mentioned earlier, Neil Young sings, "I've been a miner for a heart of gold." Gold is the most valuable precious metal on earth, and children receive gold stars in school if they do well. And the sun, of course, has been depicted as a gold star. And angels wear gold halos, kings wear gold crowns, and the sun wears a gold crown of thorns, or a corona. Streets of heaven are paved with gold. A pot of gold lies at the end of the rainbow, and then the Holy Grail is a golden cup, or you win a gold cup as a trophy. Athletes go for the gold, for gold medals. And if a musician sells so many copies of an album, they receive a gold record. The Oscar, the Emmy, and the Golden Globe are all gold statues awarded to the best actors and actresses who are members of an Actors Guild, a term associated with gold, and a variation of which guild, G-I-L-D, means to deceive. You put on a gold wedding band, you have the golden rule, the golden mean ratio, the golden arches of McDonald's, and the Golden Gate Bridge. Something's as good as gold, and silence is golden. You retire in your golden years. The happy Buddha is gold, and it's this rah-rah attitude that they count on. So in the movies, the hero always rides off into the sunset, and finally, the smiling, happy face that says, "Have a nice day," is a yellow sun. So if someone tells you to have a nice day, and then another person tells you to have a nice day, and are you only left with a quarter of a nice day? You know, if you have something, you're cutting it in two. But you have these moon logos, like DreamWorks Pictures, which features a boy sitting on the crescent moon with a fishing pole in the waters below, presumably of Earth, right? And, you know, Dancing with the Stars uses a moon, moon tower, blue moon. One significant symbol used with the moon is that of the siren, who lures sailors to the rock with their sweet singing and beautiful song. And you have this Miller High Life siren symbolism, where this sign has these oar paddles in an X shape, and a witch with a pointed hat sitting on a crescent moon with stars behind her. She's holding up a golden glass of beer, just like Columbia. And the sign reads, "Fishing, reel in the high life." In many songs, the moon has been romanticized, and its alluring presence can be felt in such classics such as "Fly Me to the Moon" and "Blue Moon," "Paper Moon," and "Moon River." Of course, to rive means to split in two. So when we die, we put R.I.P. or RIP on the tombstone. But of course, you have the dark aspect of the moon too, which is revealed in the old Devil Moon. Were you going to say comment on something? I wasn't sure. But Hollywood has the James Bond film Moonraker, which implies that the moon could be raking something, and award-winning Moonstruck alludes to the spell that the moon has over our minds. Other movies include Bad Moon, Hunter's Moon, Temptress Moon, Liar's Moon, Blood Moon, Bitter Moon, Warlock Moon, Moonlight Express, Destination Moon, Radar Men from the Moon, Project Moonbase, and in the movie The Truman Show, The Truman Show, the moon was used as a home base for perpetrating a fake world and false reality to its duped victim, Truman. The eclipse is the union or marriage of the Sun King and the Moon Queen, and has been used prominently in shows such as Twilight, The Ring, Heroes, and even by Lycos and TNT as logos by corporations. Saturn logos usually show the ring as a scythe blade, such as the Nike Swoosh, and it can also be seen with DirecTV, Bud Light, Saturn cars, and Internet Explorer. Cubes are also associated with Saturn, so you have the Nintendo GameCube and Gateway computers. The Star of David, a hexagram, is also associated with Saturn because of the hexagonal energy vortex at the pole of Saturn. Pyramid logos include Columbia Pictures, as the goddess stands on a stepped pyramid. Paramount Pictures is a pyramid shaped and surrounded by the halo of stars. I mentioned Disney's castle. And Mitsubishi Motors, Mercedes-Benz, Lexus, Infiniti, CAT, Illuminati Online. And of course, the all-seeing eye on the back of the American dollar bill. The all-seeing eye symbol can be seen in the logo of CBS or Columbia Broadcasting System. Time Warner Cable, I think MI5, Bob Dylan's logo, LucasArts. And the Eye of Horus was a popular ancient Egyptian motif. It's become very in vogue for celebrities to pose with one eye hidden or covered, and can be seen in countless advertisements and movie posters. You have the G logo, which is also seen a lot. It's the Freemasonic G, which may represent the sun, which is the musical note G, Sol, and in the musical scale. Our sun, Sol, is classified as a G star. You also have G-Shock, G-Star Raw, the Gatorade G, Energy, G-Power, G-Sun Components, U.S. Solar G, and even one called G-Sun. Some star logos include the Dallas Cowboys, the Macy's Red Star, whose slogan is the magic of Macy's, Walmart, Sirius Satellite Radio, which is the dog star, Sirius, Converse, Heineken, EA Sports, slogans, it's in the game, Texaco, Reverb Nation, and the rock band Rush, who uses the pentagram. Not to take anything away from Rush, I love them as a band. But the five-pointed star is likely associated with Venus, which is said to etch the shape of a pentacle as it moves through the sky. And the eight-pointed star is also an asterisk and is associated with Inanna, the earlier Sumerian Venus. 666 logos are extremely intriguing to people, and some forms are the early curly Q in the writings of the words Walt Disney. And then you have Lucius, Triple Sec, Monster Energy Drink, whose three claw marks are the number six in Hebrew, and is an example of what's called gematria, or Hebrew numerology, which the elite use extensively in their rituals. CERN and the Universal Product Barcode use 666. It can also take the form of celebrities giving the okay sign with three fingers surrounding the circle. And of course, 666 is, you know, the number of the beast in the Bible. And but I think maybe what it symbolizes is, you know, mankind is carbon-based, and carbon 12 has six protons, six neutrons, and six electrons. So it's the number of man. Also, 666 is .666 is two-thirds. According to the Bible, one-third of the angels fell from heaven to back Lucifer in his rebellion against God. And you have serpent logos. One prominent one's the Hermetic Caduceus, which has intertwined snakes around the staff that the medical community uses. I think AMA, the American Medical Association, uses it. The Alfa Romeo logo depicts a man being eaten by a serpent, which is reminiscent of perhaps Quetzalcoatl in Mayan mythology. The Wellcome Trust uses a serpent. One of the logos of EA Sports, MMA logos, looks like the head of a serpent, which is not surprising since Inky or Ea had the serpent for a symbol. Some light logos are Sylvania, Bud Light, Lucis Trust, Lucent Technologies, Quest, whose slogan is Ride the Light. The next section is archetypes. And Carl Jung said, all the most powerful ideas in history go back to archetypes. An archetypal content expresses itself first and foremost in metaphors. And he said the contents of the collective unconscious are known as archetypes, primordial images that reflect basic patterns that are common to us all and which have existed universally since the dawn of time. He said there are as many archetypes as there are typical situations in life. Endless repetition has engraved these experiences into our psychic constitution, not in the forms of images filled with content, but at first only as forms without content, representing merely the possibility of a certain type of perception and action. It says, the primordial image or archetype is a figure, be it a daemon, a human being, or a process, that constantly recurs in the course of history and appears wherever creative fantasy is freely expressed. Essentially, therefore, it is a mythological figure. In each of these images, there is a little piece of human psychology and human fate, a remnant of the joys and sorrows that have been repeated countless times in our ancestral history. And according to Jung, there's four main ones, the shadow, the anima, the animus, and the self. But there's 12 archetypes, and they're creator, caregiver, ruler, the jester or trickster, every man, the lover, hero, outlaw, magician, the innocent fool, and explorer and sage. Joseph Campbell said, the hero journey is inside of you. Tear off the veils and open the mystery of yourself, end quote. And then, so you have these 12 shadow archetypes, and they're sorcerer, dictator, victim, shadow witch, addict, idiot, trickster, destroyer, slave, shadow mother, hag, and hermit. He said, he wrote a great deal about the archetypes, and he said, he theorized about the collective unconscious. He said, in addition to our immediate consciousness, which is of a thoroughly personal nature, which we believe to be the only empirical psyche, there exists a second psychic system of a collective, universal, and impersonal nature, which is identified in all individuals. This collective unconscious does not develop individually, but is inherited. It consists of pre-existent forms, the archetypes, which can only become consciously secondarily, and which only become conscious secondarily, and which give definite form to certain psychic contents. He said, the trickster is a primitive cosmic being of divine animal nature, divine-animal nature. On the one hand, superior to man because of his superhuman qualities, and on the other hand, inferior to him because of his unreason and unconsciousness, end quote. But he says, what actually happens is that the conscious mind is then able to free itself from the fascination of evil and is no longer obliged to live it compulsively. The darkness and the evil have not gone up in smoke. They have merely withdrawn into the unconscious owing to loss of energy, where they remain unconscious so long as all is well with the conscious. But if the conscious should find itself in a critical or doubtful situation, then it soon becomes apparent that the shadow is not dissolved into nothing, but is only waiting for a favorable opportunity to reappear as a projection upon one's neighbor. If this trick is successful, there is immediately created between them that world of primordial darkness where everything that is characteristic of the trickster can happen, even on the highest plane of civilization. And Carl Jung stated the shadow to be the unknown dark side of the personality. He said the shadow, in being instinctive and irrational, is prone to psychological projection, in which a perceived personal inferiority is recognized as a perceived moral deficiency in someone else. Jung writes that if these projections remain hidden, quote, the projection-making factor, the shadow archetype, then has a free hand and can realize its object, if it has one, or bring about some other situation characteristic of its power. These projections insulate and harm individuals by acting as a constantly thickening veil of illusion between the ego and the real world. He said, a group experience takes place on a lower level of consciousness than the experience of an individual. This is due to the fact that when many people gather together to share one common emotion, the total psyche emergent from the group is below the level of the individual psyche. If it is a very large group, the collective psyche will be more like the psyche of an animal, which is the reason why the ethical attitude of large organizations is always doubtful. The psychology of a large crowd inevitably sinks to the level of mob psychology. If, therefore, I have a so-called collective experience as a member of a group, it takes place on a lower level of consciousness than if I had experienced by myself alone. That was Jung from his book, The Archetypes and the Collective Unconscious. And lastly, he said, there is good reason for supposing that the archetypes are the unconscious images of the instincts themselves. In other words, that they are patterns of instinctual behavior. So I'm going to mention a couple of like metaphors and allegories. One is Plato's allegory of the cave. And Ellis Washington writes, quote, in his allegory, humanity lives deep inside the cave and interprets life by watching shadows reflected on the wall by fire. Here, objects that are seen are not real, according to Plato, but literally mimic the real forms. It's a comprehensive and systematic effort by Plato to explain how limited our perceptions really are, end quote. It says, the objects that are seen, according to Plato, are not real, but literally mimic the real forms. The allegory of the cave expressed in Republic, the things that are ordinarily perceived in the world are characterized as shadows of the real things, which are not perceived directly. That which the observer understands when he views the world mimics the archetypes of the many types and properties of things observed. It's like the fire that casts light on the walls of the cave, the human condition is forever bound to the impressions that are received through the senses. And then this other one is called the Hymn of the Pearl. And it's a hymn in the Gnostic book, Acts of Thomas. And it tells the story of a boy sent to Egypt to retrieve a pearl from a serpent. And during the journey, he forgets his true origin and his family. He's reminded of his past when he receives a letter sent from the King of Kings. He retrieves the pearl, returns home, and is reunited with his family. And the hymn speaks to the notion that we are spirits lost in a world of matter, and forgetful of our true origin. Inside us, we have a pearl, the divine spark of light or light power, the invaluable treasure hidden within. There's this, one of my favorite images with symbolism is called the Flammarion engraving. There's a colorized version, which is really nice too. And the engraving shows a man clothed in a long robe carrying a staff. He's kneeling on the ground and his head, shoulders, and one of his arms are passing through the division of the starry sky and the earth. And he discovers a realm far beyond the heavens. So symbols are external projections formed from universal archetypes within us. Joseph Campbell said, quote, a symbol, like everything else, shows a double aspect. We must distinguish, therefore, between the sense and the meaning of the symbol. It seems to me perfectly clear that all the great and little symbolical systems of the past function simultaneously on three levels. The corporeal of waking consciousness, the spiritual of dream, and the ineffable of the absolutely unknowable. The term meaning can refer only to the first two, but these today are in charge of science, which is the province, as we have said, not of symbols but of signs. The ineffable, the absolutely unknowable, can only be sensed. It's the province of art, which is not expression merely, or even primarily, but a quest for and formulation of experience, evoking energy-waking images, yielding what Sir Herbert Reed has aptly termed a sensuous apprehension of being. The book Signs and Symbols, it states, quote, a symbol is a visual image or sign representing an idea, a deeper indicator of a universal truth, end quote. So I'm going to go through some important symbols that we all see. The first one is the yin-yang symbol, which represents duality and balance in the universe. The dark swirl is associated with shadows, femininity, and the trough of a wave. And the yang, the light swirl, represents brightness, passion, and growth. Yin is the black side with the white dot in it, and the yang is the white side with the black dot in it. And many tangible dualities, such as light and dark, sun and moon, electrical, magnetic, male and female, active and passive, yes and no, on and off, fire and water, expanding and contracting, can be represented. The small dots within each of the two energies, represented by the black and white, symbolize that there is always some yin within yang and vice versa. So, you know, if you're going through a really beautiful time, you know, it's not going to last forever, and there's, you know, probably some problems within it too, but you know, by the same token, if you're really having a hard time, there's, you know, usually a silver lining that's in there too. So, you have the peace sign, and it's interesting to me that the peace sign that of coming together in unison actually has three sections, although the two lines merge together as it goes up. And when holding up the peace sign with two fingers, we actually split the fingers apart in a V shape. I mean, you'd think the symbol would be two fingers together to, you know, show solidarity, but, and the word peace is actually a homophone of the word peace, P-I-E-C-E, which is signifies separateness or individuals, individualism. The heart symbol, it dawned on me that the symbol people draw for the heart, you know, like on computers, it's like a less than sign and a three. Maybe you turn it upright. At least the top portion is representing a toroidal field of the heart torus. An EEG designed to read brain waves can read the heart's frequency spectrum from 3 feet away without electrodes. And I was really fascinated by this image of the shape of the heart's energy field. The heart's electromagnetic frequency arcs out from the heart and back in the form of a torus field. And the torus allows a vortex of energy to form, which bends back along itself and re-enters itself. So is it just a coincidence that both the heart and the Earth's electromagnetic fields form the shape of a torus? The cross may ultimately be traced back to the four cardinal directions superimposed over the sun, and that symbol is called the solar cross. The caduceus is a medical symbol and represents the staff of Hermes, the Greek god, the founder of Hermeticism. And the staff has two serpents intertwined around it. The staff represents our spinal column, and the serpent, the kundalini energy or wave that rises. The wings represent the two sides of our brain hemispheres, and it's also symbolized by the serpent crucified on a pole or a vertical cross. God told Moses to make a bronze serpent and put it on a pole. The Lord said to Moses, make a snake and put it up on a pole. Then you have the dollar sign, which is another form of the caduceus, where the S is the serpent and the vertical line is the pole. The infinity symbol looks to me like a Möbius strip, which is a strip twisted once and joined at the ends. Like a circle or zero, it has no beginning or end. And it shows the traveling in and out between dimensions. It's also the number 8 turned sideways, or the Ouroboros. The Ouroboros is the snake that eats its own tail. The Ouroboros has been said to have a meaning of infinity or wholeness. It was adopted as a symbol in Gnosticism and Hermeticism, and most notably in alchemy. Via medical alchemical tradition, the symbol entered Renaissance magic and modern symbolism, often taken to symbolize introspection, the eternal return, or cyclicality, especially in the sense of something constantly recreating itself. It also represents the infinite cycle of nature's endless creation and destruction, life and death. A snake is a symbol of transformation. A serpent sheds its skin. In Gnosticism, a serpent biting its tail symbolized eternity in the soul of the world. There is a serpent that encircles the world egg. The Gnostic Pista Sophia describes the Ouroboros as a 12-part dragon surrounding the world with his tail in its mouth. This the world egg, or Orphic egg, or cosmic egg shows the serpent entwined around an egg, and typically the world egg is a beginning of some sort in the universe, where some primordial being comes into existence by hatching from the egg, sometimes laying on the primordial waters of the earth. The excellent website vigilantcitizen.com has an article entitled Top 10 Most Sinister PSYOPs Mission Patches, and some of which feature dragons, snakes, wizards above or surrounding the earth, overseeing it. The Apollo patches have some interesting logos too. You have these Medici lions, or Chinese guardian lions, which are a lion with one paw on top of a sphere or globe, implying power over the world. It's maybe symbolic of the demiurge, who has the head of a lion. Star or pinnacle in Babylonian drawings, where it makes the pattern the planet Venus makes. If you look at any octave on a piano, you'll have 12 keys, 7 white and 5 black. And this is called the pentatonic scale because there are 5 black keys. If you take the 12 notes starting with D and put them on a circle like the hours on a clock, and connect the black keys, you get an inverted pentagram or the goat head of Mendez. So since the pentagram is used for invoking demons, I would imagine the shape is conducive to the ratcheting or spiraling up of up or down of energy between octaves or dimensional realms. It's just a theory. The symbol of the shell is symbolic of Botticelli's painting, The Birth of Venus. So it's the shell is probably a symbol for Venus. It depicts the goddess. The painting depicts the goddess Aphrodite or Venus arriving at the shore after her birth, when she had emerged from the sea fully grown. And in the center, the newly born goddess Venus stands nude in a giant scallop shell. The phoenix is a symbol of resurrection or reincarnation, being born again or rising from the ashes of death, the firebird. In the book Masonic and Occult Symbols Illustrated, it says, most occultists believe that the phoenix is a symbol of Lucifer, who is cast down in flames and who they think will one day rise triumphant, end quote. The phoenix is an Egyptian symbol of rebirth and immortality, and Manly P. Hall wrote in his book, The Secret Teaching of All Ages, he says, to the ancient mystics, the phoenix was the most appropriate symbol of the immortality of the human soul, for just as the phoenix was reborn out of its own dead self seven times seven, so again and again the spiritual nature of man rises triumphant from his dead physical body. But evil hermetists regarded the phoenix as a symbol of the accomplishment of alchemical transmutation, a process equivalent to human regeneration. The name phoenix was also given to one of the secret alchemical formula, end quote. The lotus flower is a symbol of enlightenment, its awareness and beauty, and it refers to the growing habit of the rooting in mud and pushing up through the water to bloom, which is what the lotus flower does. In Buddhist symbolism, the lotus is symbolic of purity of the body, speech, and mind, as while rooted in the mud, its flowers blossom on long stalks as if floating above the muddy waters of attachment and desire. It's also symbolic of detachment, as drops of water easily slide off its petal. A lotus flower begins growing at the bottom of a muddy, murky pool and slowly emerges toward the surface, bursting out of the water into a beautiful blossom. And during the night, the lotus closes and sinks under the water and emerges again with the sunlight of a new day. The mud symbolizes the hardships and difficulties of life, the mud. The triangle or pyramid, I already mentioned that. The all-seeing eye, which is connected with the evil eye. In the book Morals and Dogmas, the 33-degree Mason, Albert Pike, writes, our lodges are said to be due east and west because the master represents the rising sun. The sun, his, is the all-seeing eye in our lodges, end quote. So, you know, the eye of Horus has been said to be the... I think it's the eye of divine providence or something like that. And the shape of the eye of Horus seems to correspond to the shape of the corpus callosum or the thalamus, the medulla oblongata, and the hypothalamus, which contains the pineal gland in the human brain. The pine cone at the top of the Pope's staff is symbolic of the third eye because it's shaped like a pine cone. The website thirdeyepinecones.com says, quote, the Egyptian staff of Osiris, dating back to approximately 1224 BC, depicts two intertwining serpents rising up to meet at a pine cone. Modern scholars and philosophers have noted the staff's symbolic parallels to the Indian Kundalini, a spiritual energy in the body depicted as coiled serpents rising up from the base of the spine to the third eye, pineal gland, in the moment of enlightenment. Continues, it says, Shiva, the most prominent god in the Hindu tradition, is consistently depicted with a head or coiled hair shaped and marked similarly to a pine cone and interwoven with a serpent or serpents. It also says, a statue of the Mexican god Chicomecotl, which means seven snakes, again depicts the deity offering forth pine cones in one hand and an evergreen tree in the other. It also says, Romans later built an enormous bronze sculpture, the Pigna, in the shape of a huge pine cone three stories tall. According to a popular medieval legend, the sculpture stood on top of the Pantheon as a lid for the round opening in the center of the building's vault. The Pigna is confirmed to have served as a large fountain overflowing with water next to the temple of Isis in ancient Rome. However, the gigantic statue now sits directly in front of the Catholic Vatican in the court of the pine cone. Says Catholic religion tradition is intricately interwoven with pine cones, perhaps most prominently atop the sacred staff carried by the Pope himself. the coat of arms of the Holy See, found on the Vatican flag, among other places, features a stacking of three crowns suspiciously similar in shape to a pine cone, end quote. And I wonder if the unfinished pyramid symbolizes the shape of the human body during meditation, when the kundalini is ascended up through the chakras and activating the third eye, pineal gland. I don't know. The Freemason G is soul. I think I mentioned all this, but the fifth tone of the musical scale of C, do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti. The symbol used for the fifth tone of the diatonic scale is G, and of course, soul is the name of our sun. The labyrinth may have evolved from the sacred spiral as a metaphor for life's journey. I think of it as the journey within our multidimensional selves. In fact, many walk it as a transformational spiritual tool. Unlike a maze, which has the complexity of paths one can get lost in, the labyrinth has one path, which frees the one's mind and allows them to tap into their spiritual center. But there's a minotaur that dwelt at the center of the labyrinth, which was an elaborate maze-like construction designed by the architect Daedalus and his son Icarus on the command of King Minos of Crete, and its function was to hold the Minotaur within. Baphomet. In his book Transcendental Magic, Eliphas Levi explains the now famous image of Baphomet. He says, quote, "We recur once more to that terrible number 15, symbolized in the tarot by a monster throned upon an altar, mitered and horned, having a woman's breast and the generative organs of a man, a chimera, a malformed sphinx, a synthesis of deformities. Below this figure, we read a frank and simple inscription, the devil. Yes, we confront here that phantom of all terrors, the dragon of all theogonies, the Ahriman of the Persians, the Typhon of the Egyptians, and the Python of the Greeks, the old serpent of the Hebrews, the fantastic monster, the nightmare, the gargoyle, the great beast of the Middle Ages, and worse than all these, the Baphomet of the Templars, the bearded idol of the alchemists, the obscene deity of Mendes, the goat of the Sabbath." He further says, quote, "The astral light is the universal seducer. To some extent indifferent in itself, it lends itself to good as to evil. It transmits light and propagates darkness. It may be called equally Lucifer and Lucifuge. And the unknown god..." W.T. Smith and Martin P. Starr quotes from Aleister Crowley's Occult Mass says, quote, "And I believe in the serpent and the lion, the mystery of mysteries, and his name is Baphomet." But Levi explains that the Baphomet is a symbol of enlightenment based on Hermetic principles. And he himself created the figure represents as above, so below. But and then you have the owl. I think the owl is symbolic of wisdom, for the owl can see in the dark what others can't. But it should also be noted that the owl is a predatory bird. Bohemian Grove uses the owl as a symbol and features a giant 40-foot stone owl at its creation of a care ceremony. The owl was a symbol of the Roman goddess Minerva, who was a goddess of war and wisdom. It's also quite possibly a nana, as the Berni relief depicts a winged woman with webbed feet atop two lions flanked by an owl on both sides. That's Inanna, one of the main goddesses of Sumerian religion, who became Aphrodite and Venus. And, you mentioned the torch. The Sumerian texts have this to say about Inanna, who's called Queen of Heaven, also Ishtar, Isis, Venus, and later associated with Lucifer by the church. It says, look at how they describe her as a goddess who holds a torch similar to the goddess Columbia, or even the Statue of Liberty. It says, quote, "I shall greet the great lady of heaven, Inanna. I shall greet the holy torch who fills the heavens, the light, Inanna, her who shines like daylight, the great lady of heaven, Inanna. For the young lady, I shall sing a song about her grandeur, about her greatness, about her exalted dignity, about her radiantly ascending at evening, about her filling the heaven like a holy torch. All the countries are building a house for you as for the risen sun. A shining torch is assigned to you, the light of the land." And in a hymn to Inanna, it says, "Your divinity shines in the pure heavens like Nana or Utu. Your torch lights up the corners of heaven, turning darkness into light." Sacred geometry is, I guess, another form of symbolism. The word geometry comes from the Greek words geos, meaning earth, and metron, meaning to measure, which together literally translate as the measuring of the earth. It emphasizes phi, the golden ratio or golden mean, the divine proportion, Fibonacci numbers. It can be seen in nature in the branching of trees and leaves, a nautilus shell, the labyrinth, and the sacred spiral, which can even be seen in galaxies. Other forms of sacred geometry are mandalas, Metatron's cube, the flower of life, the seed of life, the harmony of the spheres, and even in crop circles. It has been included in art and in the architecture of churches, temples, mosques, cathedrals, and monuments such as the Great Pyramid. The flower of life and seed of life designs may actually correspond to the planetary or world's energy grid, which keeps us trapped or imprisoned here. It's reminiscent of me, to me, of a golden web of life. The Greek mystery schools taught that there were five perfect forms, the Platonic solids, the tetrahedron, hexahedron, octahedron, the dodecahedron, and the icosahedron. Symbols and dreams. Joseph Campbell said, myths are the world's dreams. They are archetypical dreams and deal with, or archetypal dreams and deal with great human problems. Myths and dreams come from the same place. They come from realizations of some kind that then have to find expression in symbolic form, end quote. The website dreamjournal.net has an extensive symbol dictionary to help interpret your dreams. There's different ones, such as the typical dreams is you're being chased, and which could be due to, I don't know, maybe shadow beings trying to feed off our negative energies, such as fear, stress, guilt, etc. There are flying dreams, which could be a sign of astral travel. Dreamjournal.net says to fall from certainty about things, fall in your own opinion of self, fall in faith, fall in power and favor, falling in love. Isn't it interesting that you know, we are said to fall in love? Anyway, fear of not being in control or fear of danger or general anxiety. Occasionally a fall in a dream is a sudden release of tension. And, you know, they say we fall asleep too. You fall asleep and then you wake up. So I think that's depicting the different consciousness levels or brain states, the waves that are frequency increasing and decreasing. Falling, this could be the remembrance of the soul coming back down into the physical body. And then I have a lot of dreams where I'm like arguing or happen to justify something. And once again, it could be due to the shadow beings trying to feed off our energies. Spiders and predators. Dreamjournal.net says most likely the spiders are connected with feelings of repulsion or anxiety. Can also represent the being caught up in subtle feelings we try to brush off or avoid. The caught in the web situation. Therefore, it sometimes indicates a mother's power, as in the way we are caught in our web of desires, emotions, and anxieties, or even our own feelings of dependence and need. Tarot cards. Our deck of playing cards originally came from tarot cards, and the four suits were originally coins or pentacles, cups, wands, and swords, which correspond to the four elements, water, air, fire, and earth. Tarot means ta, rot, which means the wheel, or the way or route, and signifies man's alchemical journey. The first card is the fool, an enlightened man, which ultimately leads to the moon, the sun, judgment, and then to the last card, the world, which is thought to represent starting it all over again, or reincarnation. So man's ultimate judgment is in the sun, where the heart is weighed, and if it's pure enough, it'll pass through the fire, and if not, it's sent back again. So these games represent purifying the soul by progressing from the heavier earth elements, such as lead, and turning lead into gold, which is the sun. Games represent the token man as a fool or a pipsqueak pawn in the game who moves across the board or electromagnetic field until it can reach and pip through the other side to win the crown or be crowned, that is, become a king or a sun god. Every card in the major arcana embodies an archetypal figure. This is from Tarot for Writers by Corinne Kenner. She says, the fool is the happy wanderer who sees the world through the eyes of a child. Most tarot experts agree that the fool represents each of us, naive travelers through life on a grand adventure out to learn whatever experience the tarot can teach us. The magician is the skilled and cunning master of all he surveys. He represents an individual in control of life's tools and techniques, like those on the table in front of him. In the interest of time, I'm just going to read what the other ones are. The High Priestess, the Empress, the Emperor, the Hierophant, the Lovers, the Chariot, Strength, the Hermit, the Wheel of Fortune, Justice, the Hangman, Death, Temperance, the Devil, the Tower, the Star, the Moon, the Sun, Judgment, and the World. And of course, you can check out on my notes what the full explanations for each of those are. There's this Illuminati card game made by Steven Jackson Games, and it has a card deck, and it's been credited as predicting 9/11, the death of Princess Di, as well as the recent shooting in Las Vegas. The secret MasterCard reads, quote, "Everything in the world is controlled by a small evil group to which ultimately no one we know belongs," end quote. The Princess Di card reads, "Princess Di and her puppets are immune to attack by your rival's peaceful or liberal groups." The Terrorist Nuke card shows the Twin Towers with flames and smoke coming out in the exact same place where the towers were hit. The Pentagon card shows the Pentagon on fire after being hit by terrorists. These other cards are the Center for Disease Control, which mentions biological warfare. Some other cards are Benefit Concert, Oil Spill, Nuclear Accident, Epidemic, Flesh-Eating Bacteria, Rewriting History, Savings and Loan Scam, NASA, Templars, Jihad, Criminal Overlords, Earth Magic, Political Correctness, Combined Disasters, Tidal Wave, Kill for Peace, Security Leak, Vatican City, New World Order Military Industrial Complex, Gun Control, Mistaken Identity, Barcodes, Sweeping Reforms, Upheaval, Martial Law, Wall Street, Subliminals, Druids, Hex, Conspiracy Theorists, Tabloids, Vampires, Alien Abduction, Necronomicon, Population Reduction, and World War III. The Las Vegas shooting took place during a country music festival called the Route 91 Harvest Music Festival. For these types of situations, as well as wars, are designed as harvest for souls. The venue where the concert was held was tangent to the Luxor Hotel, which is a giant pyramid with an Egyptian sphinx. The word Luxor comes from the root word lux, which means light. Those who are students of gematria and numerology point out the killer was said to have been shooting from the 32nd floor, which is linked to Freemasonry. I mean, I saw when it was depicted on the news or whatever, I tried to count up the number of levels of floors, and I only saw like 25 or 26. I was trying to count real fast, but I'm not sure it was on the 32nd floor. I mean, I don't know. But it's kind of interesting. The Steve Jackson Illuminati card deck has a card entitled Las Vegas, which basically predicted a shooting like this. And the card shows two playing cards, the Jack and Ace of Spades, to symbolize the blackjack games played at the casinos in Las Vegas. Now, the value of a Jack is 10, and an Ace can be 1. The shooting took place on October 1st, or 10-1. Country music star Jason Aldean was performing when the shooting began, and unbelievably, he has a tattoo of, you guessed it, the Jack and Ace of Spades, just like the card shows, with horns protruding from the top of the cards and beneath a black sun. Now, a Jack is known as an assassin for the queen, and a Jack is also symbolic for the devil. An Ace can be thought of as a wizard, a common man who can be worth far less than the royal face cards, but also can be superior to them in value if his wizardry is realized. But that's some interesting symbolism right there. Have you ever seen that in some of the videos?
Yeah. Incredible stuff.
It really is. So that's basically all
that
my
been
stuff.
A little bit the Las Vegas shooting. Have you been able to spend some time looking at that at how deep that
I've
goes?
Watched some of the videos on YouTube. I mean, your guess is as good as mine is whether how much of it, used crisis. You know, a lot of people are quick to say, oh, it's all crisis actors. Nobody was killed. And I mean, I don't know what the real truth is, but I found the symbolism interesting. And of course, right away, they're talking more and more gun control, and immediately there's just a lot of interesting, questionable things going on behind the scenes there.
Yeah. Yeah, you get a lot of changes to the laws in regards to our freedoms, civil liberties. We're having it here. They bring in new laws after these shootings. But it could be a mix. We discussed it could be a mix of real and staged.
Right.
It's a rabbit hole, you know. You just hear a lot of weird things, you know, a lot of weird things around that still going on. I guess people move on with their lives and they forget it pretty quickly. But there are a lot of strange events surrounding that shooting. Very extremely dark, anyway, whichever way you want to look at it.
Yeah, it's just a horrible situation all the way around.
It's a dark world we live in, for sure, when this stuff's taking place all the time, you know?
It's just a crazy place we live in, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's, well, you know, we don't get a lot of it here, but just wondering, because you know, you're obviously in the U.S., yeah. Being able to watch what's happening and keep an eye on it, you know? But who knows who with this? You know, it's all over the shop. It's, indeed. So it's hard to tell. Hard to tell.
Yeah. So I guess, like, in summary, I mean, yeah, the trickster tests the fool or every man on his journey, but we can slay the dragon within us and become the hero. And we're currently temporarily bound to the impressions from the lower frequency or light that's received through the senses, but the silver lining is that the light hidden behind the clouds breaks through at times to shine, and our spirit is a pearl hidden within, which can be remembered by clamming down on the dross material from the pressures of the world. And like the lotus flower, we can rise from the murky and muddy depths, bloom, and emerge above the waters into a more pure light. And like the lowly earthworm, we can build a new home and be transformed into a spirit that's free and able to fly and soar like an eagle above the storm, like a diamond made from the black coal via pressure and stress, and like metal that's forged and refined or purified into pure gold by trials of fire. And we can become the one sperm that penetrates the egg to be born into a larger reality. We can be the pipsqueak who's able to navigate the black and white dualistic game board of life and become a king. Our character can stop playing the role in this divine play or cosmic movie and leave the game we're playing. Like Captain Janeway, we can resist the Archon posing as our father, trying to lure us into his matrix of light to feed him. Like Captain Kirk and his crew, we can see beyond the illusions of Landru and his Archons to prevent being absorbed into the body. We can overcome our overlords, such as Corellon, who serve the Overmind that wishes to dissolve us into the white light. We can be the true man able to see through the set of this reality television show and realize it's all just a program. We can be like number six, the number of man, the everyman prisoner, and hold fast to our sovereignty and earn the right to leave the village. We can be the one, like Neo, and leave the Matrix by transmuting the shadow into light, ascending within. We can be like Dorothy, see beyond the projected illusions of the wizard, and use our divine spark within to wake up from this bad dream in order to return home. And like the Flammarion engraving, we can be the seeker who discovers the truth and is able to pierce the veil, think outside the hive mind collective of the world, see and move into the higher realms beyond matter by using gnosis, that is wisdom, a pure heart, and pure imagination to return to our true spiritual home. So,
nicely said.
I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy, isn't it? I guess it's all up to us at the end of the day. So,
exactly,
you
right.
know, it's, I guess it is true that, yeah, the language is creating a, language as we're using it today is creating this prison for us that we don't even, not even aware of. Mm-hmm. How much of our language is on your website, would you say, is languid?
Well, that was language. One thing I wanted to add. There was, you know, I only had so much time, and I kept adding stuff and stuff. And I was going to add this, and I forgot. But now that you mention it, it reminds me that, you know, we should try to be conscious when we speak and use a conscious language. Like when I use the word "it," I try not to give it the word power. Like I try not to phrase it so that it gives whatever that subject it is, positive or powerful or, reinforcement. So I'm just very conscious about the way I speak when I speak to people. And that's like something to keep in mind. And when I tell people, from my solution is to maybe kind of use a mantra like higher frequency now or move inward. I think language is a trap. And so you don't really want to use the words, it's more like holding in the image or the thought, the idea in your mind and just keeping it there. And using words is probably not a good idea because all these words have been crafted to be used against us, So that was just something I wanted to mention too, that it's important maybe not to use words, but just to the idea or image in our mind, because that's what imagination is imaging, right?
Could we say, looking at that, could we say, watch your language or mind your language?
Yeah.
Is that what we would say to people? Watch your language?
Yeah.
Is that a correct thing to say in regards to this, you think?
Watch your language.
Watch your language. Okay. They say to kids, mind your language when they say nasty things or whatever. But there's also watch your language, and people would say, how can you watch language?
Oh, I see what you're saying. Like parents or somebody will say, watch your language.
Language. Yeah, but it just means if you look at it and lay it out, it kind of just means to be mindful of what you're saying and careful. So yeah. Mm-hmm. That's what I was meaning. Watch your language.
Yeah, you're right. I haven't even thought of that. Yeah, they're constantly telling you to watch. When your kid comes, he's saying, watch your language.
Yeah, it's just crazy, language in itself, I've heard people say when you look at olden day newspapers and writings, how beautiful language once was, English language, how amazing it was, and compared to what we do today, because we're losing our language in a lot of ways, And
if you do use language, affirmations and constantly using positive reinforcement about, your own self-worth and things like that could be a powerful tool to do. But
yeah,
of course,
help.
Like I said, you have to be careful with the actual language you're using. But, if your mind is your intention is probably the most important thing. So if your intention, you're holding fast to that intention in your mind, then that could overcome the actual language of the words. It's hard to say because, like I was talking about the Tibetan Buddhists and stuff that use those plates, and the actual vibrations of the syllables and sounds and stuff, it really does shape the matter around us. So I don't know.
It's weird looking at how much language we've lost and don't use today, especially younger generations, and then of course the smartphones and technology and texting and emailing and all that. In the older days it was, you had to write a letter and all this sort of stuff, And there's a kids movie that's come out here in Australia, very popular, called The Emoji Movie.
Oh, yeah.
And, it's like all these thousands of emoji figures that I've seen on social media in the last couple of years, and they've really taken hold now. And I try to put up a lot of articles and things up there, but half the people now don't even comment anymore. They just leave an emoji face, like a sad face or a happy face, and it's like they don't even bother writing anymore. But you're getting the same with texting as well, and they're shortening down every word in the language, and this movie kind of glamorized in a way at how, why do you even need to write a text message anymore when you can just send one of these little characters,
And picture speaks a thousand words, right?
Yeah, is this, I don't know if it's a good thing in a way, because then just people aren't talking anymore. Mm-hmm. They're not going to get into trouble, but it's kind of scary.
It's getting the idea across, and maybe it could be a good thing. I think ideally, telepathy would be the way to go. Telepathy and empathy, where you're not using telepathy, there's no secrets involved. You know what other people's intentions or thoughts are, and so you can't have secrets or lies or evil thoughts. I guess you could, but it's not going to last too long.
Yeah, well, I guess the technology is doing all the thinking for us now. And you look at the iPhones, and most people use the spelling corrector, and Mm-hmm. So it's correcting their words. So you're just wondering about young kids coming through schools now, you know, and kind of looking at some of the material they're learning, and it's not too good, you know. Seems to be going backwards in a lot of ways. But, yeah, I look at that as well, as their technology seems to be just sort of taking over. So we get to the point now where most people couldn't even be bothered saying anything or texting anything or even texting or writing a word. You know, it's getting like that now in that way. Yeah, that seems kind of false to me, a bit false, you know, very false.
And the other thing, like the social media and stuff, is it creates just very impatient people that, I mean, they wouldn't, they couldn't sit down and read a book for a few hours or something. It just gives you short attention, it encourages short attention spans, you know.
That's right. They've got all these fidget toys now, these fidget spinners and things they buy where they fidget with all day.
I mean, you're lucky if you get one line out of somebody when you send a message to them. It's just all just short phrases. And
yeah, it's funny. Well, I did just recently see the new Blade Runner movie. I think
how was that?
It was an amazing movie. I really liked it. I would encourage people to see this. I think it's one of, it's an incredible film. I don't think I've really ever seen anything like this. I saw it on a big screen with amazing sound, but he was saying in some reviews that it would challenge people. It's over 2 hours, you know, and it's this kind of slow mystery, as you know, with the original Blade Runner. It's not much action, but there's a lot of stuff in there I think you would really like, and you'll pick up a lot of stuff in there. But it's incredibly beautifully shot movie, but it will test a lot of people's patience as well, you know, because there's just these long drawn out scenes and quiet moments all through the film. It's not an action type film, but it's was amazing to see something like that made. I don't think they can make movies like that in Hollywood.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of the name of the guy who wrote it. He it's just escaping me, saluting me right now. But he wrote a lot of stuff, and he was considered like a Gnostic or whatever, but he had like a lot of ideas that we're living in a simulation, and golly, what was his name? I can't believe I can't remember it, but that was one of his better writings for sure.
Yeah, amazing. Yeah, looks like Dennis Villeneuve.
I'm thinking of somebody else.
Yeah, amazing. Anyway, go along and see it if you can on the big screen. It's a really incredible film. Kind of sad as well. You know, of course, does get into the technology side, and you know, people with, you know, these being soulless, and you know, all of that. It's kind of sad, and there's kind of love attached in there. There's a whole lot of emotions going on. But you know, with today's age, just, I was reading good articles on it, you know, people want to go in now for, you know, no more than 80 minutes and smash, bang, blow up, crash, boom, you know, the Fast and the Furious, and get out of there, you know. Some of these movies like this can be very, very challenging, and as you said before, yeah, as attention spans of people now and younger people, and they get very frustrated very quickly, because we've talked about this before, I think. The worry is because technology is giving us everything we want so quickly. You know, you want something and you just go on your phone or your desktop or whatever, your iPad, and there it is in a second, you know, anything you want. And so they get very upset cranky very quickly if they can't get access to what they want so quick.
Philip K. Dick is who I was trying to think of.
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah, he's a very interesting guy.
Amazing, I mean, yeah.
His work.
That's right, yeah. I downloaded a whole bunch of his books, yeah.
Yeah, he has some interesting comments, and I was going to add them to my website because they're so profound, and he was a visionary. It's just amazing. He had these alternate realities that he could see into, and he just an amazing person.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. I think you can hear a helicopter. I think they're coming to get me, Wayne.
Yeah,
a black helicopter above my house, take me away. Anyway, Yeah, no, I do don't get to the movies much, really at all, to be honest, but a friend invited me and it was good to sit down and watch something like that,
Yeah, the other movie I want to
you
watch
know,
is
yeah.
Frequency. Have you seen that one?
I think I heard the one, yeah.
Where it's about near-death experiences. It was
That's
it's
right.
a it's like, I guess a continuation of one made a few decades ago, but where the medical students or whatever are like in a controlled environment. They're basically
A flatliners thing, yeah.
inducing near-death experiences. And but yeah, in this scenario, all of a sudden they're being terrorized by some entity out there, which I thought was interesting.
Yeah. It's always that fear-mongering and demonization, isn't
I
it?
don't think they're all showing the love and light like, the near-death experiencers
It'd be interesting though
report.
if you are experimenting with death, it's not like suicide, but you're purposely mucking around with that. It'd be interesting, yeah, just what people would see, what kind of state of mind they were in,
Right.
with
A
that
lot of
kind of thing.
them,
Yeah,
people
interesting.
have, they do suicide. I mean, they have more negative
That's
experiences.
right. Yeah. Yeah, I have some books on it. So people had those kind of experiences after death. Yeah, very interesting, but a lot of information today, to say the least. But
I hope it
could be.
was what you had in mind. I don't know. I was just
Yeah, there.
scrambling,
Oh,
trying to figure out everything I could think of. I was trying to put it in there.
no. I'm just sitting here back listening, and yeah, it's kind of like listening to an old audio book or something. Yes.
Yeah.
It's good. I think that people like that if they're working or doing things, they can put that on. But
They can listen
another
to it in the
big chunk.
car or something, or while they're at work, and it's like you're saying, it's like an audiobook.
Yeah, it's just we try to make it continuous. That's why you're doing it that way here. We do it this way, that way, just let you run through it all, so it's keeps that flow. But I think another really interesting chunk to add to what we've done is there any other of these types of shows you would be looking at later on? We've done quite a lot. If I look at your website, you've got you
Yeah, I
did
mean, I'm sure
mention.
there is. There's music. There's I'm really getting into this reverse speech stuff. I think you can
Yeah,
find it
yeah.
can reveal some truths. I mean, like if that's what I'm trying to like, listen to the Pope, listen to Billy Graham, listen to astronauts. People that are in, supposed positions of power of or in the know of certain things. And if you can find out, and I try to zero in on some of the more important quotes, like, okay, oh yeah, I should look up George Bush, and when he talks about the New World Order, let's see what he's really saying, if
That's where it's kind of
anybody
political
has any good
stuff, yeah.
ideas for stuff to study. Well, I tried to listen to Hitler, but evidently that's all his speeches were in German, so I don't know German.
Yeah, it is amazing the political scene, isn't it, with the politicians, and we have prime ministers or whatever, just the way they talk to the media. It's funny. They're very evasive and they don't ever answer questions directly, and it's just when you listen into some of the things they say. Yeah, and then you get to the end of it and you're like, well, he didn't answer the question and we didn't really get anywhere there. It's politicians have a, and I wonder, they probably study that, but they do have a very
Yeah, I wonder
strange
if
way of
it's not
talking.
part of it that they know that maybe they can be reversed, and so now if they're just saying a bunch of nothing, there, what are you really going to get out of it, even if you do reverse their language?
That's right.
Yeah.
So, what did you use to do all these reversings? You just do it with a machine, or you do it with a computer? What sort of way
The
is a easier
computer.
way? Yeah.
I'm kind of lazy, so I'd go out on YouTube, and I would. There's a website that lets you extract the MP3 audio file from a YouTube video. So I was like, whether it's a song, I would just play the video and get the URL, and then paste in the URL, and then it just extracts the MP3 and lets you download it. So once I got it down to my computer, I have this software tool called Cool Edit. Cool Edit 2000, I think it is. I'm running some old stuff, but you can put it in there, and then you can like select the entire audio wave, and then you can there's like a transform tool or something like that, which lets you reverse it. And then you can also, if it's too soft, sometimes I'll increase I'll amplify it by like 200-500%, so it's louder. And then the other nice tool is it lets you sometimes have to slow it down because the reversals come really quick. And sometimes if someone's talking fast, like I'm kind of a talk faster or fast talker, you can slow it down by 90%, 80%, or more even. And so that helps it easier to hear that. And I'll just sit there and I'll just listen to the entire thing. You know, if a song's a few minutes long, it doesn't take long to listen to it backwards. And I'll see if anything jumps out at me that I can hear. And if not, then sometimes I'll listen to the song forward. And if there's like a really key phrase of the song, then I'll just highlight that part and then reverse it and see if I hear anything.
It does go back. I remember kind of in high school people talking about records, you know, vinyl records of heavy metal bands, maybe bands like Slayer and all this, that if you played stuff backwards, there was all this stuff in there, you know.
People
were scared to do it, you know, and I thought, well, is that just a ploy by the record companies to put that sort of stuff in? But
yeah, some of it's a mix. Intentional. That's what they call it, backmasking. But I think there's definitely, like, some of that stuff in the Stairway to Heaven, I don't think it was intentional. I think it was just, because that song was written, like, in like basically a night or something like that, and he was like said almost like he channeled it. That, you know, they were talking about in interviews how they were sitting by the fire, and that he, you know, Robert Plant just almost was just channeling, like he wrote it, boom, 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 kind of thing. And it's such a deep song; it's really well written. It's just, I think he did channel it from spirit realm.
Yeah. I have to wonder about Pink Floyd as well. I don't know if you've got into the definitely Dark Side of the Moon.
Yeah, I did Dark Side of the Moon. There's something I found in the song Eclipse, but it talked about one being one or something like that. I mean, yeah, I was kind of disappointed with Dark Side. I need to listen to it again, and it was a long time ago that I did it, but I was hoping to find more in Dark Side of the Moon.
Such a deep.
It's kind of like I was disappointed with the song Heart of Gold. I was thinking, oh man, Heart of Gold's going to have a real positive, good message, good spiritual message, and then when you play it backwards, he's talking about money. It's like, all right.
Yeah. Strange, very odd. Interesting stuff.
Sting is surprisingly seems like he's kind of Gnostic in that, they had a song called "Spirits in the Material World," and it was, "We Are Spirits in the Material World," and it was from the album "Ghost in the Machine." And then he even had a solo album called "Soul Cages." So, you know, in that song "Spirits in the Material World," he talks about our so-called leaders speak with words they try to jail ya. I mean, so it seems like he was kind of knew what was going on. Beyond some of those guys, they sell their soul, and you know, maybe he did too. But I mean, at least I don't know. It seems like he is more well-read than others.
That's right. That's a rabbit hole. For sure, that's a rabbit hole. What you're doing there, the music. It's also the one thing that's we've gone through it a little bit, but one thing I'm noticing now a lot is the particularly the American, you know, Hollywood music video, MTV type thing, with just the latest video clips you watch on YouTube and stuff with the big stars, you know. You have over there, and that you've gone through a lot of the Katy Perry and Beyonce and all these people, you know, there's a whole bunch of them, many. Some of these clips they're putting out are getting very bizarre, very dark as well, very sexual and very dark and very strange. People don't seem to, a lot of them are very sugary sort of pop. It's getting further and further away from what actually music should be, but you know, very synthetic and plastic, but very strange and weird and creepy. Some of this stuff's getting to keep an eye on.
I thought it was interesting when I reversed the song. There's a song Madonna does called Illuminati that I mentioned. And, you know, she's trying to say, oh, you know, it's all good and it's nothing bad. You know, right when I reverse it, it says collaboration, 100% facts, snakes, sex, and the ashcraft. I mean, she's literally saying the stuff that we're talking about, this, you know, the reptilians, and she says snakes, and that you just mentioned the sex and all that stuff. She goes sex. And then ashcraft is, to me, it's like witchcraft. It has to do with ash is, you know, death or whatever. Boom, right there.
Yeah, keep an eye on that, those videos. They're unbelievable.
Yeah,
but yeah, you pick up on it pretty quick now. So as I study it more, you just it sort of displays itself to you in such a way. You know, it's amazing. So you know, they're not really trying to hide it. You know, they're pretty.
Do you have a chance to listen to any of those? I put up on a page a bunch of.
That's a great new page you've added there. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just curious to see if people are hearing what I'm hearing or whether I'm just reading into stuff, you know. But I've got some feedback, and this woman said, "Yeah, I heard it." You know, it's like she said, "It's, you know, it's kind of hard to hear," but which it is. But she said, "Yeah, I heard it."
Have you added it to Trick by the Light? Have you added the actual section yet?
Yeah.
Of that, what did you call it?
Oh, I didn't put it like as a separate section. I just got a link to it. After we're done with this interview, I'm going to add it to my language page.
Right. So people can have a look.
And put it like a big link. I give maybe two or three really good examples, and then say, you know, here, you know, for dozens more, click here. You know,
it's an amazing page because I've been searching stuff online here and there, you know, in the past, and looking at language and things and logos and stuff, and I'll pick up a whole bunch of different websites, and it's actually linked back to your website. Actually your info that other
people are
picking
up. Yeah, one of the nice things is I get statistics on my website, and I can go through, and one of the statistics they give me is all the pages that link to my website. And so I kind of periodically I'll go through there and I'll see like Auric Media and some of these websites that'll link to some of my articles. And that's always nice to see that people are finding value in it, you know.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it is a great website, trickedbythelight.com. We'll plug out today of the Matrix. Anything you want to finish up on? Anything at all?
No, just I love hearing from people. And, you know, check out those reversals and let me know if you're hearing what I'm hearing or not, and or anything else you want to mention to me. My email address is waynejbush@gmail.com. It's WAYNE the letter J BUSH.com. No relation to George. Matter of fact, his speech about the New World Order is one of my reversals.
That's right. And so that's it? Nothing else? Anything? That's all?
That's all.
Great. I'll put the link up as well. People can send me an email to thecrazfiles@mail.com. That's a new one, if they think of anything. And I will put this up tonight. Get it out there for folks.
Great.
So much appreciate your time, and I'm sure we can hook in again for another show.
I got to thank you, you know, because you get me coming on and doing these different topics, and it got me back into the reverse speech. I was trying to think of all these different things about language and symbols, and, you know, so it got me doing research, and so I'm really appreciative of that.
I'll put that up as just a little separate link there as well to your reversals page, just so people can get it, and as well as the website. But I'll just put that other link there so people can have a look, listen to the links you've put up there with the music. So have a look at that. But always incredible and inspiring and amazing information. So
you as well. Your website's amazing. All the articles you have, and sometimes I get people to email me and they're like, hey, can we put a link up to your page? And what they're really linking to is your website. I'm like, well, that's not really my page. That's Adam's.
Yeah.
So I know you're doing a great service.
I try to have a big link website. Sorry for the bubba there. But I try to have a big link sort of website. I know people are busy, and I've just been doing it for years. So I try to just put up a lot of stuff and a reference kind of website, I mean. And that's what I originally did. It was just my original website was just links. So this mm-hmm. one's much nicer, but I feel like I put up so much. I'll be adding more too as we go on. Things I might add sort of a section that encompasses sort of all your work as well into the one. I'll just try and work out how to do that. But sort of I've got a sort of afterlife and spirituality tab, you know what I mean, that people can go into. But I mean one for this kind of research that I might just put all this work into as well that links back. But, you know.
If people have any ideas for if they have any clips they want to send me and see if I can find reversals in it, or have any ideas for somebody, like a movie or a person to look for reversals, and I'd be happy to hear for that too.
Send it through. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah, please do. And all right. Well, we'll plug out and keep in touch as always, and tune in again soon.
Yeah, thank you so much, Adam.
All right. Good night. Okay, take care, my friend.
All right, you too. Bye.